Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There are 4 stories today. The first is titled Ghost Boy. We grew up in a poor neighborhood in Illinois and thought if we couldn't afford to fly anywhere for a vacation, then why not drive? After a bit of begging, our parents agreed to let us go.
Drive safely.
And no drinking.
The plan was to drive through Iowa and South Dakota to reach Wyoming, then circle back and drive through Colorado, Kansas, and Missouri. We had 10 days off from school, which we considered plenty of time. We were traveling across South Dakota, nearing Wyoming, when we decided to stop for the night. It was around 11 p.m. as we approached a cheap-looking motel. We split a double room, 2 to a bed. When we woke the following day, Robbie wasn't in the room with us. We assumed he was getting a coffee or something. I called him. His phone was sitting on one of the nightstands. Someone looked out the window.
His car is still in the parking lot.
And this is his wallet.
He couldn't have gone far, so we set off to look for him. We were eager to hit the road. We split up. And after circling the building, I went back inside and asked the lady at the front desk if she'd seen Robbie.
No, sorry.
We were starting to get worried. Other than the motel, there were no other buildings in the area. Just open fields for miles. Then, at noon, we decided to call the cops. And a couple of hours later, the sheriff arrived. He seemed unbothered until we provided all the details, such as leaving his phone and wallet behind. Another thing he found suspicious was how long Robbie had been gone. None of it made sense. After we told him everything, he called for backup. Then the three of us assisted the officers with their search, each of us riding in a different car to point out Robbie if we found him. But no luck. The day turned to night, and the sheriff generously paid for an additional night at the motel for us. Before leaving, the sheriff said,
"We'll continue the search in the morning. You boys try to get some sleep."
Morning came. It was the sheriff.
"Day two is always less promising than day one. Regarding the condition we may find your friend in."
He might as well have said, "Robbie's body is in a ditch somewhere."
"I'm sorry if that sounds harsh. I just want you to be prepared."
We had to call Robbie's mum, and thankfully, the sheriff said he would do it. By the end of the day, we were all starting to lose hope. We would see Robbie again, and the sheriff again paid for us to stay another night in the motel. Only this time, we got a new room on the second floor and had to transfer all our belongings upstairs. And as directed, we left Robbie's possessions untouched in case things progressed and the room became a crime scene. Distraught and defeated, we entered the new room with a heavy cloud hanging over us.
"Do the cops think we did something to Robbie?"
"Maybe. I guess they have to at least consider it."
I wanted to take a shower, and I realized I'd left my toiletries in the old room and went back to get them. We still had a key to that room. I entered our old room, and,
oh,
there was someone in one of the beds.
"Oh, hey."
It was Robbie.
"What are you guys doing up so early?"
"Where the hell have you been? We've been looking for you for days."
"What are you talking about? We just got here last night."
He thought I was pranking him.
"Don't move. I'll be right back."
I raced down to the parking lot.
"Sheriff!"
And luckily, the sheriff was still there, talking to a couple of police officers who were helping with the search.
You're not going to believe this."
They questioned Robbie for over an hour and managed to convince him he'd been missing for 2 days. Eventually, they let us go. Robbie says he remembers nothing about the period between going to bed on the first night and waking up 2 days later. We were all a little nervous, anticipating more strange happenings, but we made it home safely. A few days later, we got a call from the sheriff.
"We examined the motel security footage, and there's no evidence of Robbie leaving or returning to the motel."
We jokingly call Robbie Ghost Boy occasionally, but in reality, it still gives us chills, even all these years later. How do you explain something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stared into a mirror that's facing another mirror? It's almost like hypnosis. My great aunt passed away when I was 12. I never met her, but my mother told me Aunt Loreline was the family black sheep, shunned by most of her blood, including her sister, my grandmother. However, my mother was always kind to her. Loreline died childless, and soon after her passing, my mother was informed she had inherited the old house her aunt had lived in for 40-odd years.
"Let's just sell it. We could use the money,"
my father said. But my mother was insistent.
"My aunt loved that house. I'm keeping it."
"It'll just end up rotting away. It's in Louisiana. When are we ever going to visit?"
My father had a point. We lived in Seattle. My mum had been looking for a reason to leave my dad, and this seemed the perfect excuse. She argued that Seattle was too rainy and Louisiana would be an ideal change, knowing my father would refuse to move. So once my dad made it clear he'd file for divorce if she went, my mother packed her things and left, taking me with her.
"I can't wait to fix this place up."
The house was impractically big for one person. And though I was young, I remember feelings of sadness as I imagined an old woman living there alone. My mum left me alone one day, and I couldn't have been happier. I could rummage through Loreline's belongings without my mother telling me to
"put that down."
While exploring Loreline's massive closet, I noticed a rope hanging from the closet ceiling. I recognized it from movies. I pulled the rope, then climbed the stairs that fell before me. There were boxes of photographs, more clothing racks, and something hiding beneath a large sheet. I tugged on the sheet to reveal a full-length mirror detailed with gold framing. I couldn't comprehend what I was looking at. This mirror reflected everything that stood in front of it. Everything except me. As I looked at the glass, I could see the entire attic behind me without my own body to block the view. I was terrified and quickly left the attic. When my mother got home, I took her to the attic to show her the strange mirror.
"I don't understand."
The mirror had gone.
"I swear it was here."
"All right, how about we stay away from the attic? There's nothing you can do up here except break something that isn't yours."
But the next time my mother left me home alone, I went straight up to the attic. And the mirror was back where I first saw it, with the sheet draped over it. I should have taken that as a sign to leave it alone. But I was young and curious, so I removed the sheet and stared at the reflected pile of boxes stacked behind me. My body should have interfered with the box's reflection, but like the last time, I was invisible. I sat in front of the mirror for a good while, pretending to be what it told me I was, non-existent. I was no longer scared. In fact, I found it highly meditative. Until my mother came home. I opened my eyes and was met with my reflection staring back at me.
What did I tell you about coming up here?
Look! It came back!
Yeah, that's weird, but still, I don't like you coming up here.
She escorted me back to the drop stairs and waited as I climbed down. Once I reached the closet floor, I looked up at her, and she was staring across the attic toward the mirror. She appeared to be hypnotized.
Mom?
Yes, coming.
Though I didn't ask, I knew she had just witnessed the mirror's ability to make you disappear. She looked disturbed.
No more going up there. If I catch you going into the attic one more time, I'll cut this rope.
Despite this warning, I continued going up to the attic. Looking into the mirror became a form of meditation. And every time I went up there, I set a timer to ensure I'd return downstairs before my mother got home from work. She never caught me, and if a day passed without me peering into the mirror, I'd become anxious. It was as if the antique was controlling me, forcing me to admire it, to crave it. One day, I came home from school and found the mirror missing. I believe my mother got rid of it, but we never discussed it. That would be admitting I'd been up there. In hindsight, I'm glad she did it. At the time, I couldn't see how much control the mirror held over me. When I wasn't looking at it, I was thinking about it. I hope my mother destroyed that mirror. If not, heaven help whoever is now in possession of it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are over 100 ad-free episodes on Patreon. It's $3 a month to become a member. This next one is The Storeroom. Being out and about at 3 a.m. is always a little unsettling. In Dracula, Bram Stoker wrote, "No man knows till he has suffered from the night how sweet and dear to his heart the morning can be." I was working as a safety officer at an Oregon college. That dates back to the 1800s. On the night in question, I was making my rounds through the buildings when I came to one that always pushed my needle deep into the red. On the spine-tingling scale, the old theatre building, purchased by the university during World War II. There are a lot of things inside the old campus theatre that toy with one's imagination. For one, the ghost light. A single light on the stage, left on for safety purposes, but worthy of its name. Then there are the mirrors in the dressing rooms that never failed to scare the crap out of me when my reflection suddenly moved in my flashlight beam. Previous experiences I had within the building had encouraged my baser instincts to avoid the place. One night, I didn't listen to them, though I should have. I was making my way through the theatre. When I passed by a door I had never opened. There was no reason to, since the sign indicated it was for storage, but I was curious. The room was darker than ink, so I clicked on my flashlight. The beam had fallen on a black, faceless mannequin, smack in the centre of the room. I forced a nervous laugh, took a deep breath, and marvelled at how one's mind can play games with... The mannequin had rotated on its metal base.
"You gotta be kidding,"
I blurted into the strange room, before scooting back out into the hallway. I just stood there for a few moments. Then, on a whim, because sometimes I just do dumb things, I pulled out my phone and pressed the video button. Then I slowly crept back into the darkness of the storage room. I swept my flashlight to all four corners to ensure no one was in there. Then settled the beam on the mannequin. If, at this point, I had fully believed it had actually moved, rather than it being my imagination, which was heightened because of the building's built-in creep factor, I would have exited the building with extreme haste. I held the light on the featureless face as it stood mute and motionless, and wondered how could I have thought a faceless, inanimate object that was only shaped like a human could ever move. I'm not one to take flights of fancy. I'm a veteran of the Afghanistan War. It was ridiculous to think my legs turned to mush. But I knew I had to get out of there. I slammed the door and walked very quickly to the nearest exit. Looking back on this, I wish I hadn't recorded it, because then I could have told myself my sleep-deprived eyes were deceiving me. I watched the video several times, then I showed it to my wife.
What are we looking at?
Just wait.
Just before it got to the part where the mannequin moved, the video glitched.
Is that supposed to happen?
No, it's not. It's... never mind.
I know that mannequin moved, but how? It was a long time before I went back into the theater building, and even longer before I worked up the courage to open the storeroom door. But, as scared as I was, I just had to know. But it was gone. Moved to some other location. And wherever it went, maybe it moved there by itself. Our last one today was sent in by Leonie from the Patreon group. It's something that her friend Michelle experienced. And as I don't have many English voices and no Welsh ones, you'll have to use your imagination when they speak. It's called Red Cap, and I'll see you next week. I was away for a weekend with my husband. We hadn't planned where we were going to stay, but managed to find a lovely little pub. Old, but looking like it had recently been refurbished. We went in and booked a room in what appeared to be converted stables. The man behind the bar said,
"You've missed lunch, but the kitchen will reopen later for dinner."
So we decided to go for a walk. There was a field quite close to the pub, so we headed off. We walked for a while. Then we came to a closed gate. The grass on the other side of the fence was longer, and the trees seemed somehow wilder. One of these trees had things tied to the branches, and curiosity got the better of me, so we opened the gate and walked through. As we got nearer, we could see the tree had ribbons and bits of faded material tied to the branches. I reached out to touch one and felt the atmosphere change. I felt we must have disturbed something by coming into this part of the field. When I mentioned it to my husband, he said he hadn't noticed it.
You're being silly.
I replied,
No, we need to leave.
We headed back to the pub, had dinner. Then, after a couple of drinks, we turned in for the night. The room was nice, wood paneling, with a skylight in the ceiling. After all the walking outside, it didn't take us long to nod off. Sometime in the night, I was woken. I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't. It sounded like something with long nails or claws was scratching the wall. Trying to get in. I tried to wake my husband.
Wake up.
But he just grunted and rolled over. The scratching sound moved up the wall and stopped. Then I heard a noise at the skylight. I wanted to know what it was, but at the same time, I didn't want to look. I tried waking my husband again.
Please.
But again, he wouldn't wake up. I was terrified. Next came a dragging sound. When it stopped, I just lied there. The silence was almost as bad, waiting for it to start up again. I must have stayed awake for a good 2 hours before falling asleep. In the morning, we went to the bar for breakfast. There was a girl behind the bar, and I asked her if anyone had ever mentioned having strange experiences. Then I told her what I'd heard in the night. She said she'd worked there for a while, and the only thing she'd heard of was a local legend of a fairy or spirit that was said to live in the field we went walking in. She wasn't very forthcoming with information, but I had a very strong feeling the tree with the ribbons was connected to this spirit. When we got home, I did a bit of research, and what I discovered horrified me. This thing is called a red cap, a malevolent fairy or goblin who has long claws, or in some accounts, carries a long blade. If people have displeased it in some way, it will claw its way into people's bedrooms and kill them in their sleep. He gets his name by dipping his cap in the blood of his victims. It also said they can be banished by reading scriptures or brandishing a crucifix.
That would have been useful information.
I know it sounds far-fetched, but that's what happened. I haven't been back to that pub, and I really don't plan on doing so. I would just say, if you're out in a field or the forest, and you aren't familiar with the area, try not to disturb anything.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.